Sometimes I know why a subject has been on my heart, and sometimes I don't. And I even have to confess that sometimes I've preached sermons for certain people, but other times I don't. And honestly, I'm not sure why I'm preaching on this today, but I don't know. I want to preach on the wages of sin. The wages of sin. There are two questions that inevitably come up between employer and employee every time an individual is inquiring about a new job. The first question is, what kind of work are you going to expect me to do? And the second question is, what are my wages going to be for the work I do? These two questions must be answered before any intelligent contract of labor can be made. Is the work going to be bearable, and will the pay be rewarding? You may not have vocally asked these questions, but if you didn't, it was because you had enough faith in your employer to know that he would pay you well. And so even though you didn't vocalize the questions, in your heart you still had an answer for them. But every intelligent person would agree that they have never worked an hour, a day, a week, or a year without first having a satisfactory answer to these questions. Yet I retort that the majority of the human race is not actually as intelligent as they profess. Because most people are working for a difficult master who pays hard wages. Some might brag that they've been self-employed their whole life and have never been employed by any man, but have always been the employer. But even these people are employed, and payday is coming. And so the question is, who is your employer? And that brings us to Romans 6, verse 16. To whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants ye are, to whom ye obey, whether of sin unto death, or of obedience unto righteousness. And then a few verses later, in Romans 6, verse 23, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. You today are either a servant of obedience or you are a servant of sin. You are either a servant of God or you are a servant of the devil. Jesus said in Matthew 6:24, no man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. Ye cannot serve God and mammon. You are on one side or the other. Jesus said in Matthew 12:30, he that is not with me is against me. And he that gathereth not with me scattereth abroad. Sam Jones, old Methodist preacher, said on this matter, the dividing line is so narrow that no man can stand on it. I am either on one side or the other. You often hear a man say, I am not on either side. I am neutral. I am on the fence. But watch that man. Every time you see him get down, he gets down on the wrong side. Not all sinners are criminals. There are many good, moral people who are on the devil's side of the fence. Being a good person will not help you escape God's judgment. Good, by our human definition, is not good enough. For God, there is one good, that is God. For the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. The wages of sin is death. Some people get a portion of that wage in this life, but many don't. For many people, the only judgment they will ever face for their sin is eternal damnation. We have in 1 Timothy 5:24, some men's sins are open beforehand, going before to judgment, and some men, they follow after. God will not and cannot leave sin unpunished. Some men get a portion of that punishment in this life. Others do not. But no sin, no single sin ever committed by any human being will go unpunished. Unless it is covered by the blood of Christ. Not the smallest sin is going to escape judgment. Some men's sins are open beforehand, going before to judgment. And some men, they follow after, but all get punished. This verse ought to be a fearful warning. All sin gets judged. Some in this life, some in the next, but all sin gets judged. We have in Acts 5, verses 1 through 5, actually a little farther in yet, but we have the story of Ananias and Sapphira. They died for lying to God. But a certain man named Ananias, with Sapphira his wife, sold a possession and kept back part of the price. His wife also being privy to it, and brought a certain part and laid it at the apostles' feet. But Peter said, Ananias, why hath Satan filled thine heart to lie to the Holy Ghost and to keep back part of the price of the land? Whiles it remained, was it not thine own? And after it was sold, was it not in thine own power? Why hast thou conceived this thing in thine heart? Thou hast not lied unto men, but unto God. And Ananias, hearing these words, fell down and gave up the ghost. And great fear came on all them that heard these things. Then a little while later, his wife Sapphira came in and told Peter the same lie. And she also dropped dead. Ananias and Sapphira's judgment was open beforehand. But not all are. Most liars don't drop dead when they tell a lie. But God has prepared a place for all liars. Revelation 21:8. But the fearful and unbelieving and the abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. A couple of years ago, I worked at a cabinet shop, and one Saturday, a friend of my boss came into the shop to use the planer. It was about 11 in the morning, and after working only an hour, he had to stop and drink a beer. And then 15 minutes later, he opened another one. Then a little while later, he had another one. I was working in the other room for most of the time, so I only saw him drink three. But I was talking to my boss about it later, and he said, no, I think he had nine. And then my boss went on to say that he couldn't believe that this man had never gotten a DWI. If that man is not at work or sleeping, he's drinking. When he gets up on the weekend, instead of having his morning coffee, he has his morning beer, and he drinks it all the rest of the weekend long. That's his life. And yet, he's never had a DWI. He's never had an accident. His alcohol never has seemed to have any ill effect on him. But he's not going to get away with it because God has said, some men's sins are open beforehand, going before to judgment, and some men, they follow after. That man will likely live to a good old age and die without ever seeing any judgment in this life. But his judgment will come just as certainly. Some men's sins are open beforehand, going before to judgment, and some men, they follow after. We have an Acts 13 verse 8, a story of a man who opposed the gospel. His name was Elymas. Acts 13, 8. But Elymas the sorcerer, for so is his name by interpretation, withstood them, seeking to turn away the deputy from the faith. Then Saul, who also is called Paul, filled with the Holy Ghost, set his eyes on him and said, O full of all subtlety and all mischief, thou child of the devil, thou enemy of all righteousness, will thou not cease to pervert the right ways of the Lord? And now behold, the hand of the Lord is upon thee, and thou shalt be blind, not seeing the sun for a season. And immediately there fell on him a mist and a darkness, and he went about seeking some to lead him by the hand. This story is not recorded as an example of what we should expect every time somebody opposes the gospel. This is recorded because it's an unusual story. The normal is told by Paul when he is speaking to Timothy, and he says in 2 Timothy 4, 14 and 15, Alexander the coppersmith did me much evil. The Lord reward him according to his works. Of whom be thou ware also, for he hath greatly withstood our words. Opposing the gospel is a common thing. John tells us in 1 John that there are many antichrists. But most people who oppose the work of God never meet with judgment in this life. Some men's sins are open beforehand, going before to judgment, and some men, they follow after. I'm sure you all remember the story of Nadab and Abihu, the sons of Aaron. They died for offering strange fire. But Eli's sons did not die for committing fornication. Aaron's sons, Nadab and Abihu, were godly men. Some might argue, but I believe they were. They were godly men who offered incense that God had not asked for. And God, in His holiness, in the establishment of the Levitical priesthood, killed them for offering something He had not requested. Then a couple hundred years later, Eli is the high priest, and he has two sons, Hophni and Phinehas, and they are not godly. They are committing fornication right in the temple. And God did not strike them dead. God did kill them in the battlefield. But He didn't strike them dead with fire from heaven like He did Nadab and Abihu. Some men's sins are open beforehand, going before to judgment. And some men, they follow after. Some people once came to Jesus, and in Luke 13, verse 1, told him of the Galileans whose blood Pilate had mingled with their sacrifices. And Jesus answering said unto them, Suppose ye that these Galileans were sinners above all the Galileans because they suffered such things? I tell you, nay. But except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. Or those 18 upon whom the tower in Siloam fell and slew them? Think ye that they were sinners above all men that dwell in Jerusalem? I tell you, nay, but except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. Some men's sins are open beforehand, going before to judgment, and some men, they follow after. Payday is coming. You are serving somebody, and you will be paid for your work. You are either serving God, and His pay will make the trials of this life seem like nothing, or you are serving the devil, and His pay will make the pleasures of sin be nothing. Romans 8:18. For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory that shall be revealed in us. You reap whatever you sow. If you sow to the flesh, you will of the flesh reap corruption. Let me repeat myself. You are either serving God, and His pay will make the trials of this life seem like nothing, or you are serving the devil, and His pay will make the pleasures of sin be nothing. If you work for God, the work is easy and the pay is good. Jesus said, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." Jesus said again, "And so he that received 5 talents came and brought other 5 talents, saying, Lord, thou deliverest unto me 5 talents. Behold, I have gained beside them 5 talents more. His Lord said unto him, Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord." When you're serving God, a little faithfulness brings you eternal joy. If you work for self and sin, it might be fun for a little while, but it will not last, and payday is coming. The way is hard, and the pay is death. Proverbs 13:15. Good understanding giveth favor, but the way of transgressors is hard. Romans 6:23. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Mark 8:36. For what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? What's the gain? That's the question. What shall it profit you if you gained the whole world and lost your soul? If your soul is lost, does anything matter at all? They who rise to the top of the ladder in the world find out that it's not what they expected. Solomon is the classic example of this, and he records it in Ecclesiastes. And he says in Ecclesiastes 2:9, "So I was great and increased more than all that were before me in Jerusalem. Also my wisdom remained with me, and whatsoever mine eyes desired, I kept not from them. I withheld not my heart from any joy, for my heart rejoiced in all my labor, and this was my portion of all my labor. Then I looked on all the works that my hands had wrought, and on the labor that I had labored to do, and behold, all was vanity and vexation of spirit. And there was no profit under the sun." Solomon could well be the richest person ever on this earth to this day. And he said, "Then shall the dust return to the earth as it was, and the spirit shall return unto God who gave it. Vanity of vanities, saith the preacher, all is vanity." And then he concluded the matter a couple verses later, and he says in Ecclesiastes 12:13, "Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep His commandments, for this is the whole duty of man." The smartest people often commit suicide. The most successful people on this earth hate their life. And then in the end, they die and go to hell. For what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Serving self and sin is an occupation that cannot satisfy. And then the pay is death and hell. He that loveth silver shall not be satisfied with silver, nor he that loveth abundance with increase. This is also vanity. What's the gain? Earthly success that cannot bring happiness, and then death and hell in the end? That's the gain. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. You will reap what you sow. The wages of sin are just as sure as you can expect to harvest what you planted. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. As we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith. If you plant potatoes, you will harvest nothing but potatoes. If you plant wheat, you will not harvest oats. And just a few verses earlier, Paul tells us in Galatians 5:19 through 21 what the flesh is. He says, now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like. Of the which I tell you before, as I have also told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. And Paul says it kindly when he says, if you sow these things, you will reap corruption. Everlasting corruption. If you sow these things, you will reap hell. Paul also told us a few verses earlier what the fruit of the Spirit was. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. If you sow these things, you will reap everlasting life. So the question, who is your master? To whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants ye are, to whom ye obey, whether of sin unto death, or of obedience unto righteousness. Let us, each of us, examine our heart and settle this question, each one for himself. Are you a servant of sin, or a servant of righteousness? The Lord Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments. Do you do that? Or do you say no? Jesus said again, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. Have you done that? Or do you again say no? If so, we better watch out. It doesn't sound like you're a servant of God. And if you're not a servant of God, there is only one other option. You're a servant of the devil. He that is not with me is against me, and he that gathereth not with me scattereth abroad. Every living soul on this earth today is either a living, loving, faithful servant of the living God, or he is a servant of the devil. If you are a servant of the devil today, I have two questions that you need answered. First, what kind of work does the devil expect you to do for him? And second, what kind of wages is he going to pay you for your work? So first, what kind of work does the devil expect you to do for him? The devil expects to drag you into every kind of debauchery. If he can get you to ruin your body with alcohol and drugs, he will do it. If he can get you to steal and pillage, he will do it. If he can get you to curse and swear, he will be pleased. If he can get you to lie and tell dirty jokes and be addicted to pornography, he will be pleased. Every lust strives towards the strongest degree of its kind. He will try to get you into every kind of depression and self-destruction. But if he can't get you degraded to the level of these things, he will simply get you to harden your heart against the gospel and refuse the pardon of Jesus Christ. After all, that's the only sin that kept anybody out of heaven. Unbelief in the only begotten Son of God. It's the devil's goal to defile you with every kind of outward debauchery, but if he can't, he will settle for inward sins. Some sins are like smallpox and they break out everywhere over your body. Others are like typhoid fever. They're just as dangerous, but they don't surface on the skin. Sin is the work the devil expects of you. Sin. Even if the devil isn't getting much work out of you, he knows that as long as you have not become a servant of God, you are still his domain, and you will still get your wages. The devil is more excited to give you your wages than anything else he could possibly care about. And that brings us back to our second question. What kind of wages is he going to pay you for your work? The devil is like the bully on the dock. He knows he's getting thrown in, so he runs up and down the dock and he ties a string onto every little kid so that when he gets thrown in, everybody gets pulled along with him. The devil knows he's going to hell. In fact, hell was made specifically for him. We have in Matthew 25:41, Jesus said, "Then shall he say also unto them on the left hand, Depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels." The devil knows that if he can tie you down with the chains of sin, you will be pulled lower than the earth and wake up with him in the worst torment imaginable. That is the wages of serving the devil. The only wage that he can give you is a share in his punishment. And that's his goal. The devil's entire goal is to destroy as many lives with sin as he possibly can. The wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord. We need a new master today. If you don't like that kind of work nor those wages, you need a new employer. But praise God, I know one who's hiring. And he says in Matthew 11:28, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart. And ye shall find rest unto your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light." Revelation 22:17. "And the Spirit and the Bride say, Come. And let him that heareth say, Come. And let him that is athirst come. And whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely." John 6:37. "All that the Father giveth me shall come to me. And him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out." Why? Why serve the devil? Why would anybody serve the devil? I don't understand why anybody would serve sin when there is the option of serving righteousness. The wages of sin are death. Serving the devil, his work is unpleasant and his wages are awful. We've often heard people say that the devil gives his best first, but God saves the best for last, and that is true. The devil is very good at making his work look pleasant at the beginning. And sometimes it may be pleasant for a while. If you are serving the devil, what you have now is the best it's ever going to be. It will not get better. He will lie. He will say it's getting better. But it will not get better. It will only get worse from here. If you are serving God, this is the worst it will ever be. It can only get better from here. How many thousands of blessings God has promised to us? If you are serving God, the next life can only be better. Solomon in Ecclesiastes 8 verse 11, he gives us a hint as to why people serve the devil when his wages are so bad. And he says, Ecclesiastes 11:8, because sentence against an evil work is not executed speedily, therefore the heart of the sons of men is fully set in them to do evil. So because God is merciful, He gives us space to repent. Because He does not strike every sinner dead immediately, we wicked humanity take advantage of that grace that God has given us another day to live and sin another day. God would have to strike everybody dead instantly the first time they sinned. Then our human hearts might understand the seriousness of sin. But then there would be no people alive either. So God continues to deal with us in grace and gives us continued opportunity to repent and to turn to Him. All the while, humanity chooses to spend their life gratifying their lust rather than preparing for judgment. Go to the ant, thou sluggard, and consider her ways and be wise, which having no guide, overseer, or ruler, provideth her meat in summer and gathereth her food in the harvest. The ant spends the summer gathering food for the winter. And that's likened to Judgment Day. Judgment Day is coming. And we need to be prepared. So I exhort you all today. Take this opportunity. If you're alive, it's because God has not executed judgment yet. God hasn't executed your judgment speedily because He's giving you space to repent. How dare you harden your heart and continue setting your heart to do evil? Every moment you are alive is another opportunity. Take this opportunity. God is calling. Isaiah 1:18. Come now and let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. Isaiah 44:22. I have blotted out as a thick cloud thy transgressions, and as a cloud thy sins. Return unto me, for I have redeemed thee. Isaiah 55:1. Oh, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters, and he that hath no money, come ye, buy and eat. Yea, come, buy wine and milk without money and without price. Isaiah 55:6-7. Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return unto the Lord, for he will have mercy upon him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. Ezekiel 33:11. Say unto them, as I live, saith the Lord God, I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but that the wicked turn from his way and live. Turn ye from your evil ways, for why will ye die, O house of Israel? Matthew 11:28-30. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Revelation 22:17. And the Spirit and the Bride say, come. And let him that heareth say, come. And let him that is athirst come. And whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. And John 6:37. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And I love that contrast. It's not the wages of sin is death, but if you strive and you work hard enough to be holy, you'll be rewarded with eternal life. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Don't serve sin. No, not for another day, not for another hour, not for another minute. Let's pray. Our Father, we thank you for your word. Thank you for this truth. God, I pray for every heart here, especially some young hearts that maybe don't know you yet. Young hearts, maybe even older hearts. Father, people who are going to hear this message and realize that they're serving the devil. Father, open up the cross of Christ before their eyes. God, let them see in clarity their need of Jesus Christ and His ability to save to the uttermost they that come to Him. We thank you for our Savior who saved us from sin, saved us from the grip of sin, saved us from the power of sin, saved us from the punishment of sin. Father, we look forward today towards eternity when our hearts will be freed from the sinful heart that we have, where all sin will be put behind us forever and we can truly live in purity before you. Father, purify our hearts. Amen.